So in order to have account for all of those situations, Section 2 of the bill needed to be stay put. When the Senate amended it, they did not amend Senate Section 2 to make the two sections of law consistent. And so the committee is going to have to look at ways in which 166.630 can be brought in line and be made consistent with the changes that are proposed in 166.220. There is significant overlap, and we will, I have noted that to the chair, and we will talk about it.
I guess the leads to the next question then, which is, in order to avoid uncertainty as to what this bill means, and I understand that the courts have interpreted the phrase dangerous weapon, but what's wrong with putting in a list on line 9 similar to what's on line 23 so that we don't get into these questions of somebody throwing a sidewalk at somebody, you know, discharging a sidewalk? I mean,
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, first of all, the definition of dangerous weapon is a legislative definition, not a judicial definition. The difficulty that I would have with that is that the list that's in subsection, or that's in section 2, line 23, is the list of firearms. It does address bow and arrow and air rifle, rifle, gun, revolver, or other firearm. It does not address, unfortunately, some of the more unique weapons that we're starting to encounter, relative, for instance, to the blowgun dart situation or the I should separate it out, because we actually have situations where we have the CO2-fired blowgun dart, as in the gun. We have a situation which is the mouth-fired blowgun tube. I don't think that we are capable of specifically or of anticipating the specific design of all future weapons that could potentially be used against victims in these instances or against these buildings. And I think that's why the previously adopted an enacted definition of dangerous weapon that we always rely upon in all the assault statutes is an acceptable definition. That wasn't a term that I just pulled out of the air for dangerous weapons. Dangerous weapon has a specific reference and a specific definition.
Well, is it?
Representative Johnson.
One last question. Is it part of your intent that using the word discharge in line 9 then discharges, that limits the types? I mean, you can't discharge a sidewalk, so... that limits the types of...
Chair, Representative Johnson, that's correct. That's why, not only do you have the limiting of the discharge, but you all have the limiting of within range. So when you read the statute in its entirety, you're talking about weapons that are obviously going to need some mechanism to discharge and some relative range involved.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to testify on Senate Bill 638? Mr. Lindsey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Lindsey. I represent the National Rifle Association as their state liaison for Oregon. We do support Senate Bill 638, the commonly referred to drive-by shooting bill. As I indicated yesterday, part of our thinking is that perhaps you should differentiate between the acts of driving by and discharging a weapon from a vehicle against a building versus against a person or a group of persons. And we would certainly support the wisdom of this body in differentiating those two different offenses. I think the questions being raised right now are very good ones. Is there something different than, or something different between firing a gun from a car versus firing a slingshot from a car at a building? But if need be, we can certainly support that and making it a Class C felony at minimum. If I could direct my remarks to some of the questions that were raised yesterday with regard to the definitional section in 2577.
I think we'll invite you up during our work session.
The work session on that?
I'd like to focus our comments right now on 638 as it currently exists.
That's fine. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them at this point with regard to 638. If not.
Questions on 638, Representative Johnson?
Line 10 of the bill, line 9 and 10 says, from a vehicle or upon a public right-of-way. Public right-of-ways, I don't know if maybe someone else can help us with the definition of that if it's located somewhere in the statutes, but as I would understand, public right-of-ways, that would include logging roads and places like that that are far removed from any gang activity location. Is that the intent of this bill, as you understand it?
Well, my understanding of the intent of the bill is to go to some of the criminal activity taking places in the more urban areas of the state, and yet, you know, there are discharge statutes with regard to using a firearm in any place of the, part of the state, and if somebody drives by in a rural area and discharges a firearm or a bow and arrow illegally or unlawfully against a building or a state or county sign, that should be made a criminal offense as well. I don't think you're running into the problems that they have potentially in a city in some of the rural areas with regard to drive-by shootings towards large bodies of people or indiscriminately into neighborhoods, no.
Would we be better off to reinstate the population figure that was in the original bill that the Senate took out, 15,000, within city limits of cities of 15,000 people or more?
Representative, you're asking me. I think you run into a problem there that if you discharge the firearm in a population center under 15,000 against a bill, and you fire against a building, that isn't considered a felony to the same extent of discharging the firearm toward a building or in the direction of a building in a county of larger than 15,000.
City.
Or a city larger than 15,000, excuse me. I think for the benefit of uniformity at the very least, you'd want to keep the standard consistent. It would seem to me the violation is not that great, or a distinction is not that great between a city under 15,000 and a city larger than 15,000.
Okay. How about a distinction between within city limits and outside of city limits?
And again, the offense is firing the gun from a car against...
At or in the direction of any person, building, structure, or vehicle within range of the weapon.
No, I don't see a distinction there either, particularly since it's an unlawful discharge, not included in the exemptions listed above, particularly for self-protection and for police use.
Okay. Thank you.
Another question, Representative Johnson?
I'm done.
Thank you. Further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Lindsay. Anyone else wishing to testify Senate Bill 638? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Chairman Miller, Representatives of the Committee, Lee Erickson, Oregon State Police. The Department of State Police supports the issue of drive-by shootings. We were part of the working group that put some of the negotiations together at the Senate side. Our interests are the random acts of violence directed at people, vehicles, and buildings, especially with firearms, whether it's inside the city or outside the city. And those are the main parts of the bill that we're interested in seeing strengthening in the penalties for the random acts of violence that we're seeing. And it's not just the metropolitan area. We're seeing those outside that area. And for that reason, we support those provisions of the bill dealing with those random acts of violence.
Questions? Thank you. Anyone else wishing to testify? Senate Bill 638. Not, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 638, open a work session on Senate Bill 638. Representative Mason.
I like the bill. We had it up last session. I'm trying to remember what the name of the representative was who made it one of his major issues last session.
Must not be back.
It wasn't me, but it's he got spiked in a tree or something. I'm real uncomfortable with dangerous, with the definition of dangerous weapon. With all due respect to our witness from the district attorney's office,
thanks to the Court of Appeals, the term dangerous weapon has no content in it anymore. I mean, it's essentially anything you want. And the Court of Appeals went overboard and made the sidewalk a dangerous weapon. Therefore, I would maintain that under this bill, anything coming out of a car could pretty much, discharged out of a car, could pretty much be considered a dangerous weapon. And at first blush, that might seem all right, but I don't think this bill is aimed at people throwing rocks out of cars, I just don't think that's the purpose of the bill, and I'm real leery of such of these kind of elastic definitions. Aside from that, I think it's an excellent bill, so I would move to amend the bill by on line 9 by just deleting the language, the four words, or a dangerous weapon. I think that would be sufficient, but again, with this is, you know, amendments submitted with lots of respect, but I don't want this to turn into kind of a you know, get biblical here. David and Goliath, the sling is used out of the car. Maybe that's all right.
You could have asked perhaps Mr. McIntyre, maybe the committee would know, what is it, at least if this is really targeted at a particular problem that's more widespread in the Portland area than anywhere else in this state, what would we lose by adopting that amendment? What other activities are we honing in on that firearm wouldn't cover? Is there anything that's being...
Well, you talked about it.
Mr. McIntyre, you want to...
Maybe what you're going to lose, and it's going to be a legislative decision, that you are choosing to not address, for instance, the blowgun case, where the two individuals were driving around in a truck taking turns shooting a blowgun at people who were merely standing on the corner minding their own business. That would not be covered by this act.
Mr. Chair, can I interrupt?
You can get them on something else.
Yeah, what do you get them on?
Well, what we did in that instance was, in fact, we could have, had we had this bill, we would have had them, the case was actually a little bit, caused a lot of problems from several perspectives, if I can go into it for a second. We had two 19-year-olds with absolutely no prior convictions whatsoever who had gone on a spree using a survival blowgun that by definition was capable of killing small game within 50 yards, was the instruction booklet that came with it. It used wire darts that were about 1/8 to 1/4 of an inch in thickness that had plastic attachments to the back of them that would fit in so it was a perfect seal, and it was a mouth-fired or breath-fired device. We ended up with 8 counts on that case because we had 8 victims that we specifically identified for assault in the second degree, that is causing physical injury by means of that dangerous weapon. There were, in fact, a total of, as I recall, 13 or 16, and I just can't remember the exact number, but it was in the teens, 13 or 16 specifically identified incidences on the night in question in both Multnomah County and Washington County. We did not have the victims in Washington County, and some of the victims in Multnomah County we were never able to identify because the incidences were that occurred were reported to us by eyewitnesses or bystanders that were not the victims of the assault. Therefore, we couldn't do anything on those counts because we had no way of establishing whether or not the victims had been physically injured, which was one of the elements of the assault. We had, in a couple of instances, we're not even clear on the attempted assault charges because of the way the angle the bystander had, and we couldn't get a clear direction on the dart. We could have, however, had this statute been in place as it is written, used the unlawful discharge of the weapon in that incident. And that would have covered that thing, that case.
Is there another activity that isn't covered?
The ones The ones that we have. The difficulty is we're trying to keep up. As I've indicated, the minute we try to say that these are the restricted weapons is when someone just turns around and quite capable of manufacturing or coming up with another type of an instrument or article that can be fired. The ones that I've already indicated, although bow and arrows in one definition, it is not in another. The use of crossbows, weapons that discharge at a high velocity. I know that it's easy to make light of the slingshot scenario, but the slingshot scenario, when it is a high-powered slingshot with a .32 caliber lead ball, which is what some of them fire, is can be a very dangerous weapon at close range. And that's those scenarios would be missing. And that's going to have to be a decision I would submit to the committee.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Mason.
Well, I might point out, and I'm sure Mr. McIntyre is familiar, that assault in the second degree is a class B felony. So you had him on a higher grade, you can get him here. And then if you drop to assault 3, you're still at the class C felony.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, that presumes that we have a victim who will testify and we're able to establish physical injury of some kind. If all that we have is evidence of the discharge and the weapon, then we are only left with what would be this statute.
Well, let me, and so it would be your intention that somebody should be prosecuted on a Class C felony for driving by and discharging a blowgun then at a building.
An hour later.
No victim there.
Only, Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, only if, I can't imagine under that scenario using this statute, quite frankly.
That's what it would say.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, that's not what it would say by my understanding of the definition of dangerous weapon, because under those circumstances, I don't believe I could meet my burden of proof under the circumstances in which it is used, being readily capable of causing death or serious physical injury.
Why not? I mean, you've told us that a blowgun's a deadly weapon or dangerous weapon, and it says this statute says that if you discharge a dangerous weapon, not only toward any person, but toward any structure or building. So if you discharge your blowgun towards, not that I was a teenage driver, discharged any weapons toward any buildings or power insulators or mailboxes or other those things that those teenagers do, right?
Good try.
Representative John? Yeah, right.
Good try.
Yeah. But that would turn that all into a Class C felony?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, my understanding of the definition of dangerous weapon would preclude your example from becoming a Class C felony. The aspect of a teenager discharging a dangerous weapon or a firearm at a building, however, is one of the things that this bill is meant to cover, because it is, unfortunately, many teenagers who are discharging the firearms at the buildings right now.
Well, if I might, just one more. What about the teenager out there in the country that does drive along with his, and discharges a gun out of a car and at a mailbox or a traffic sign? Isn't that a structure?
No, Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, I do not believe that that would fit the definition of a structure. That would come under the violation section of the ordinance. Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, if I could, the other side to that issue, which I heard the witness from the National Rifle Association discuss, is the intent of this bill is to hold someone strictly liable for the discharge of a weapon at a structure or a building which may contain human life. We are telling the people who are engaged in this conduct that if they're going to engage in conduct which would put a .357 through the wall of a building or would put a high-powered slingshot round through the glass of a front window and into somebody's head, whether or not they know that somebody's present in that building or structure or not, they will be held criminally responsible for it. And that's what the intent of the bill is.
Further questions? Representative Mason?
Follow up. So you want, going with your testimony, then there needs to be someone in the building then. That's just what you said.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mason, I said that, in fact, that's not the required. That all that we are saying, and by the language of the bill, says that if they discharge the firearm or dangerous weapon from a vehicle or upon a public right-of-way at or in the direction of any person, building, structure, or vehicle within the range of the weapon, they can be held responsible. It is a public policy decision that that responsibility is basically putting the burden on them that we're going to presume that that activity endangers human life. And that's the policy decision behind the wording of the bill, as I understand it.
Further questions? Representative Mason, you made a motion?
Yeah, I made a motion that we just delete the lines on line, the four words in line 9, or dangerous weapons.
Representative Mason moves it on line 9. The words after the word firearm or a dangerous weapon be deleted. Discussion on the motion. Representative Sinceri.
Does it relate to dangerous or deadly weapon in line 7? Is that not? I guess that's just identifying it from the statute. Okay.
Counsel, would you?
Mr. Chair, Representative Sinceri, the problem that you're identifying is the fact that they put the, in the way that this was drafted by counsel, they put it into a statute that it would probably be best placed someplace else. And so when you look at the difference between 166, 220, and 230, 220 deals with dangerous weapons, 230 deals with firearms, or 630 deals with firearms, 220 deals with dangerous and deadly weapons. So if, in fact, the committee wanted to be consistent and just name this the crime of, if Representative Mason's motion is successful, it may be appropriate to just rename the section and make it consistent.
Further discussion on the motion. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I guess I'd like to offer a friendly amendment. I agree with Representative Mason's comments, but I do feel like it would not hurt us to name, in addition to firearm, some of the more common categories of non-firearm things that can hurl a projectile at a lethal rate, like crossbows, bow and arrow. I agree there will be some things that we won't catch, but I think we can go a better distance than pure firearms.
Drop down. You had some good language.
Okay, that language down there and put crossbow in there.
Mr. Chairman, I accept that as a friendly amendment because I'm not, I gave Ms. McIntyre a rough time on blowguns. But what I object to is the perversion of the term dangerous weapon by the Court of Appeals. There's nothing left.
And I agree.
Yeah. And so I would just, I think, again, accept as a friendly amendment, go to any, use, discharge any firearm, bow and arrow, air rifle, gun, revolver.
That isn't firearm just defined somewhere? Doesn't it include all the normal, what we would call guns? I mean,
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, you'll find the definition of firearm and in 166.210, page 340 of the Criminal Code. And it includes a weapon which is designed to expel a projectile by the action of smokeless powder, which is readily capable of use. So crossbow, I understand crossbows wouldn't count. I'm not an expert on guns, but...
Yeah, why don't we say it discharges a firearm as defined in ORS 166.210, paren 2.
You don't need to do that.
Don't need to do that.
If you leave firearm in there, it's part okay. of that. It would apply.
So it would read, discharges a firearm, comma, bow and arrow, comma, crossbow, comma, any other categories that are readily identifiable?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, I believe that the categories that are enumerated in the violation section, the air rifle, rifle, gun, revolver...
Okay. Well, rifle and gun and revolver, though, those are included in the definition of firearms, so we don't need those. So we put in air rifle and...
It's really bow and arrow, crossbow, and arrow.
Explosives.
I would, Mr. Chair, Representative Sinceri, I think that's a very good idea.
We finish one at a time, please.
Detective, you, bow and arrow is sufficient for crossbow, or you want crossbow in there, too?
Chair, Representative Mason, I don't know. I have familiarity with firearms, but no familiarity with crossbows and bows and arrows.
I would put it in just to cover it.
Yeah.
Okay.
cover.
All right.
Yeah, well, let's get this list.
Let's get this list.
Figured out. Firearm, bow and arrow, crossbow.
Crossbow.
What else?
Air rifle? Explosive.
Air rifle. Air rifle was the next, and then, or...
Air rifle.
Explosive.
Or smart bomb.
Others?
Did we get explosives in there? And if so, how did we phrase it?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative Johnson, perhaps what you would want to say is something like explosive devices.
Yeah.
Device, singular.
With the intent to cover. There are actually spring-loaded devices that will fire projectiles that carry high explosives, as well as explosives that are merely thrown like hand grenades.
I think he's right, although I think when you get over in the explosive section, you bring in so many statutes, yes. Fed and state, that it gets to be just a joke, doesn't it? I mean, you go...
One explosive device.
Yeah, it's got to be illegal to throw a hand grenade at anybody. So.
We have a definition for destructive devices in the statute.
Yes,
already.
We do, don't we, Boom?
Yeah, we do.
Boom. No, this is...
destructive device.
I believe you wrote it.
Yeah. Boom Bill.
Last year.
Well, we possibly better leave any one of the following shall be declared bomb, grenade, rocket, missile, mine. A combination of parts, either designed or intended. We got in trouble last time because we got into M-80s and the big firecrackers, and we didn't want people getting charged for felonies for dropping an M-80 out the window on the 4th of July.
Yeah, you hear that?
Boom! This is
important stuff, you know, here.
We've been through this discussion last session. Okay?
By yourself.
So, he has a lot of time.
Man. So we got, wait a minute. Or incendiary charge of more than 1/4 ounce. Well, you can see that if we get into any explosive firecracker joyride type deal dumped out the window in a crowd for fun and games is kind of all of a sudden potentially a C felony.
Mr. Chair, Representative Baumann, if this, you could take your definition of destructive devices and just insert the words destructive devices.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, where's that defined at?
I believe the definition of the term that Representative Baum is reading, that term could be used as the term rather than the term explosives if the committee wanted to do that.
Where's he reading? Boomer, where are you reading?
What's the, Representative Baum, what's the statute you're reading?
166.382. Trouble is it's not real clean.
What subcommittee did that come out of?
Not yours,
Mr. Didn't that come out of the wilderness?
Yes.
The wilderness
subcommittee.
Now, wait a minute.
Natural resource.
I wasn't on that committee.
Board violations?
I wasn't on. No. I was on the criminal subcommittee.
I was.
You were the chair.
No. The chair of that subcommittee is not here to defend himself.
That chair is gone.
No, the chair of the crime subcommittee wasn't in the natural. I wasn't on the natural wildlife wilderness committee.
Okay. All right. Now, let's come back here.
Moving right along.
Should we put destructive device in or
what is
out?
Not a dangerous weapon?
I'm just fine with it as it is, Mr. Chair. And she's mentioned including blowgun. Let's go with blowgun also. Not get too hung up on definition here. I think it's time to...
All right. Counsel, do you have a list now that you can share with the members?
Or later.
Yes.
Would you like to do that so we can deal with this motion?
Line 9, it would read...
I haven't got to the fun part yet, either.
A firearm, bow or arrow, crossbow, blowgun, air rifle, and explosive device. Or explosive device.
I still know if we did anything.
Sounds
good. Off the question.
Any additions?
Do we have explosive devices on them?
Yes.
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 Are we going to define them, or just going to let the firecrackers go?
No.
About lethal.
Further discussion on the motion.
Yes. I mean, Ray's point about the firecrackers is a valid one.
No, it's really not. If you're out driving around throwing an M80 firecracker at somebody, you deserve to be stopped. And
Class C felony? 10 years? Or 5 years? I'd say lethal explosive device would be an easy way to clean that up.
How about destructive devices as defined in ORS 166.382, subparagraph 1.
Right. That's funny.
Cascade Mountains.
Yeah.
382.
Period.
Subparagraph 1. And then we exempt any cities and counties located east of the Cascade Divide.
Oh, no, no.
Representative Mason was making that motion.
No, I don't believe he did.
Oh.
I don't believe I recognized that motion.
Okay.
Representative Baum, I would leave off print 1 after that statute because
Council?
If you don't put print 2 in there, then you don't get the exclusionary language, whatever, in print 2. So why don't we just say the statute without any print 1 or 2? And
why don't we do this? Why don't we conceptually agree that we have this list of additional dangerous weapons and we'll incorporate hopefully what our thoughts are with respect to how broad that definition will be. And we will likely see that in the next full committee, which will be a week from Friday, assuming this bill passes. And then if there are big-time objections, we'll come back here and we'll take another look at the job that Representative Baum did on that statute and others last session. Agreeable? Is there...